And we're back. And joining me for this segment are Kathy and David. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi, Robert.
And we're going to talk about the IDE. So introduce yourselves, and then we'll dive in.
All right. Robert, I'm a program manager on the Visual Studio IDE team.
I, too, am a program manager in the Visual Studio Application Lifecycle Tools teams, where we work on things that are in those application lifecycle style problems that mm-hmm. are a little bit above the surface of your code.
Okay, cool. So feel free to send your questions in, and while we wait for those to come rushing in, let's kind of review some of the highlights about what's new in the IDE. Let's start with signing in. What's that all about?
She's got some cool stuff here.
Yeah, so one of the great things about signing in is that we'll take care of your product registration right from within the sign-in experience. And then if you've previously signed in on another machine, we'll go and pull down those settings that you made. Maybe you changed your fonts and colors. Maybe you're using the dark theme. Well, I hope you're using it. I'm using the dark theme. But we'll go and pull down some of those customizations that you've made as well. And it just sort of lights up for you. So now as I go move between machines, maybe I'm at home and then I go back to work and I made some changes at home, you'll see those changes applied immediately when you launch the IDE.
Okay. So what other things are roamed?
Yeah, so for now we're going to roam themes, any customizations that you make to your fonts and colors and tools options. Mm-hmm. We'll roam any key binding changes that you've made, or if you've added any custom key bindings.
Key bindings is awesome.
Yes.
You don't have to keep replumbing all your key bindings every time you install them.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yep.
So,
and then a bunch of the editor settings as well.
So whether or not pinned documents are on a separate row, things like that.
Yeah, those are in the Windows category,
the
Windows and Tabs. But you know, we're working on including more of the settings that you find in Tools Options in the synchronization of settings. So.
Okay, recently used projects, all that, or recently opened projects, things like that.
That's another great thing that we're considering.
Okay, is there a way that people starting to, or should people vote on which things they'd like to see migrated?
Definitely, yeah.
A long list.
Exactly. Our user voice site is the best place to go and collect those things.
Okay.
You can also, if you just want to tweet some of them at the Visual Studio account, I can go and collect a lot of those things and share them with the team. But we've already got a long list, and so we just love to add those plus ones next to those.
Okay. And when you sign in, that's also your Visual Studio Online account and other accounts that you would have as well. You're now signed in pretty much everywhere.
You're just signed into the IDE right now.
Okay.
The client itself.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
So what else should people be looking out for in terms of new features?
Yeah.
Smaller, simpler. Remember we were talking about that.
That's right. Yes. Yeah. So we took a hard look at some of the other areas where we could reduce some of the clutter in the IDE. So one of the big areas was Solution Explorer, that right-clicking and that huge context menu mm-hmm. of items in there. So we took a hard look at some of the items that didn't really need to be in there, and then we went and grouped some of the items into some categories. So we've done a little cleanup effort across the IDE in terms of some of our menuing as well. And we're going to continue to do that in coming releases, too.
Okay, so I think features like Code Lens and Code Peek and et cetera were mentioned in the keynote. Just give us a review of what those are.
Sure, sure. So Code Peek is a beautiful little feature. I just love that. I personally use it all the time. And it allows me to kind of look through my code and where I might previously have said go to definition by hitting F12, you know. Instead, what I can do is get a preview of that code that I would have otherwise opened in a new window, right, mm-hmm. covers up my code file. And now I can see it right in line in the editor. And it doesn't require me to change context. I can get the information I need and keep moving. Or, and here's the really slick thing, I can actually edit that code.
Right.
I can edit that code in that other file via this sort of port that I have into that file. Then I collapse it back up, and I'm back in my flow. I'm on my way.
Mm-hmm.
That's really cool. And a lot of what we did in the editor for this release was really focused on developer productivity. And you hear that term, right? What does that mean, developer productivity? Well, here's what it means. It means that we humans have about 7 working slots of memory, right? We got these registers that we can fill. And every time I hit F12, right, and I go to definition, I pull up another window, I pull up another tool window, a code file, I'm filling one of those registers. Right. So what we try and do is we tried to put features right inside the IDE so that information is available to me at a glance if I want it, but it doesn't interfere with me if I don't want it. So a very core principle for us was don't be annoying.
Right.
Don't be annoying. That was the big thing we talked about for a while is don't light up my IDE like Vegas, right? That's not what we're trying to do here. We wanted to make ambient information available to you if you would find it helpful contextually. Yeah. And if not, it's very subtle. It just fades away.
Right. I mean, that's a perfect review. You're looking at some code and you see a method that's called. And it's nice with the code peek, you can just see what's there and see if you then want to change context and go to that, you certainly can. But you don't have to in order just to get a look at that code.
Right.
That's cool.
And then CodeLens gives me insights about lots of other things that might be going on perhaps with my team or in code relationships. So for example, I can see references to a given method, to a given property, to a particular class rather.
Right.
I can also see changes. If I happen to be using Team Foundation servers, my back end, I can see what changes were made that affected a given method, property, or class. So it's at that method or property level, mm-hmm. and that's really cool. That's a way of looking at code that maybe we're not used to.
The references is one of my favorite features, because when it says zero references,
exactly.
That tells you right there this code is not called from anything.
Yep.
And so now you have immediately, at the code level, an indicator that you're not using this code, mm-hmm. right?
So I have to be careful with that one because, you know, you guys
I have to be careful with it too and I start deleting things willy-nilly because they're not used?
Well, you talked a little bit in the last session about dependency injection. That was a topic that came up. Well, think about how that might appear to your code. If I don't have a direct reference on something, if I'm an interface, might I be loaded via reflection or something like that?
Okay.
So you're right. You're absolutely right that I have a live in-memory code tree inside Visual Studio that we're using to sort of inspect your code. And if a reference is made there, we'll know it. But sometimes your references are made in a late-binding way, and you know you need to be aware of that.
Excellent point. So it's an indicator that this code may not be called, but you can't necessarily take it at face value.
Mm-hmm. Well, in fact, we call those little tags that appear on top of your methods and classes and properties, we call those indicators.
Indicators.
And what we're trying to do there is borrow from fighter pilots, because that's awesome, right? Head-up displays. That was the whole idea there, is that we can bring that very tactical experience of getting great situational awareness that fighter pilots kind of get, right? And bring that into Visual Studio. So we've been talking a lot about that kind of vocabulary with the teams, and we totally dig it.
Well, even if I'm misusing it at times, it's still one of my favorite features.
All right.
All right, we have a couple questions. Eldarian, I hope I pronounced that right. If not, sorry. What about making CodeLens recognize C# code inside MVC views?
Absolutely. It's just a matter of time and money and time, really, because we're absolutely committed to bringing the CodeLens experience to other places in our development environment. And, you know, I know that it's sort of a refrain to hear it's on the backlog, but it really is on the backlog. We really do care, and we want this as much as everybody else does, because we like using it, too.
Okay. Surab asks, any improvements or new features for WPF performance and memory profiling?
I don't think we're the best ones to answer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think we have a session on .NET development. We'll ask that then.
Sure.
He also asks, can we expect to have extensions from the Microsoft team on the IDE rather than from third parties? So, for example, would there be a new version of the productivity power tools, for example?
I'm glad you asked that. So, actually, we released the productivity power tools for Visual Studio 2013 this morning.
Sweet.
It's up on the Visual Studio gallery.
Congrats.
I know, yes.
Excellent. Yeah. I should do a Visual Studio Toolbox show on that.
You should.
In fact, maybe I'll record it this week and post it next week.
That sounds like a great idea.
Excellent.
Yeah, but we had a lot of the good stuff that was in the tools from 2012, and we've got some really neat stuff. We're now lighting up help in CodePeak, right in line in that window, and we've got some really neat integration with errors in the Solution Explorer window now, so you can kind of get like an overview of where your errors are without having to keep the error list window open, and then you can filter through that too, so definitely everybody should go check it out.
So Dan asks, what about extensions and updates? Will Visual Studio automatically download and install those and their settings, perhaps?
Yes, it's a great question. We're definitely considering that for our synchronization settings. There are some challenges in terms of if you have a different version on a different machine that it can't run on, but we're definitely considering it. Mm-hmm. We don't really have an answer right now if we'll be able to actually support it now, but like David said, it is on our wish list, I guess.
Okay. Aditya asks, what about NuGet packages for signed in users? Are those synchronized?
They are not, but that is definitely another thing to add to the list for sure.
Okay, are there enhancements to how you use NuGet packages and extensions? Are there new features in the product for how you work with those?
I'm not a huge expert on NuGet, but I will tell you that I have loved using the ability to have NuGet dynamically pull those packages so that I don't have to check in the libraries that I'm taking a dependency on into my version control system. This is hugely important, particularly if I happen to use Git, because I don't want to be putting those types of artifacts into my Git repository. So I can config that up, and what that allows me to do is say, you know, all of my NuGet packages that I brought in, instead of keeping those with my project when I check it in, I'm going to keep a config file that points at all of those things. So the next person that pulls that project, says build, when they do that, it goes out to NuGet will go out. Right. It will pull those packages, the correct ones, off the public NuGet feed or off your private internal feed, if that's how you do NuGet, and we're good to go. So I love that enhancement of NuGet.
In 2012, you could, the idea is that if I'm going to share code with you, or I'm going to, you know, put it in MSDN samples or something, what do I do with all those NuGet packages? And they can sometimes be, you know, dozens of megabytes in size.
Right.
So do I really need to ship that stuff to you if I'm going to share a code with you? The answer is no. I can take those out, but then, you know, in 2012, the project wouldn't build because it's missing all those references.
Right.
So you could right-click on the solution and automatically download them, or there was a feature to automatically download them when you build it to turn that on. But now in 2013, that's on by default, right? So you open that project, go to build, and it will automatically go pull all those packages down.
That's right? that's a big win for me.
Yeah.
As a Git user, I really appreciate that.
Yeah. All right, Dan asks, must the settings be synced to the cloud? Can you sync to a network drive?
You cannot right now. It's just to your Visual Studio Online account.
Okay.
Yep.
But that would be potentially something that you could look into in the future.
It could be, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, so while we wait for additional questions to come in, let's go back to talking about favorite features. Give me another favorite feature that people should be looking for.
Oh.
I don't know, I'm putting you on the spot.
Yeah.
There's so many to choose from.
Yeah, I know. I do love the synchronization of settings. As I'm moving between machines, especially at work, I've got a couple different machines for things that I'm validating, working on my team with. And the fact that I have my own dark theme, I have my own custom editor colors, and I like my line numbers on. I've got some key bindings that I've gotten used to over time, so definitely that's my favorite one.
Okay.
Yeah.
For me, I got to tell you, there are several things. One of the things I really appreciate is something that some folks you had on earlier made for us. Larry Guger and Andrew Hall were here talking about all the diagnostics things.
Mm-hmm.
That's some really complicated stuff, to be frank. And, you know, some of us don't get all that all the time. And we need those tools. We need to understand them so that we can actually diagnose problems with our applications. But, you know, in the past, those tools have been kind of spread around a bit. And now we have the Diagnostics Hub. And that Diagnostics Hub brings all of that together so that I have a place to go to start looking for insights into my code at runtime right here on my desktop. I love that. That really simplifies the process of figuring out what I should use in my diagnostics toolkit now that I'm in that situation. The next thing is, I'm going to talk about CodeLens again because it's just freaking awesome.
Okay.
All right. You know, with CodeLens, there are a couple of different experiences there. One is the client-only experience, I'll call it. And what that means is we have some indicators. Remember, I use that word indicators to mean one of those little tags or gauges above my code line. Well, some of those operate solely within the domain of Visual Studio on your client. For example, references. We don't necessarily need to go talk to a server to find out what references are there. But how did we do that? Well, the way we did that is instead of taking a dependency on the current language services that live inside Visual Studio, we brought in something called Roslyn. Mm. Roslyn is a new inclusion into Visual Studio. It's there for the first time this release, and is a new way of thinking about language services within Visual Studio. So it's really cool that we can essentially load our entire code base from Visual Studio up into Roslyn, which I'll think about as sort of an in-memory compiler and language parser, you know, a syntax tree parser, and I can ask questions of it, like, what references me? But I can ask more complex questions, like, what is the inheritance structure of this code? Things that I couldn't ask of the old language services. So this was our first foray into bringing Roslyn into the IDE, exploiting that a little bit, making some use of it. We're really excited about where we can go with this in the future.
That's very cool. All right, before we get back to questions, I'm just going to toss another one of my favorite features, which is edit and continue for 64-bit apps.
Yes.
All right, Carlos wants to know, what about IntelliSense of JavaScript and jQuery? Is that something you can talk to? Or was that more of a question for the web guys?
Yeah, you lost the web guys. They were right here.
I didn't lose them. I kicked them out so you guys could.
That's right. Time was up.
All right, Linda says, regarding Visual Studio 2013 enhancements, what are the key takeaways and reasons to upgrade?
Where
do you start?
I know, right? I think these interviews that you and Brian are doing, I think they're really speaking to all of those reasons why 2013 is just so much better than 2012.
Code
lens.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes, code lens.
Yeah.
All right. Zippy asks, are there any new refactoring tools in the IDE?
Mm. Not to my knowledge.
Yeah.
Not this time around. Yeah. However, one of the things we're really excited about is the fact that now that we have Roslyn inside the product as a core language service, we'll be able to do very interesting things with the problem domain of refactoring and moving code around at large scale within your IDE, being able to do very rich code movement and refactoring without losing compilability along the way. Mm-hmm. Roslyn's going to be a big component in that story moving forward.
So is Roslyn something more that you as the product team are interested in? Or am I as the developer interested in it?
It's actually been a project out there that you can go download and play with for a long time. And a lot of external folks have gone and pulled that. Developers out in the community have played with it and built tools using Roslyn that knows how to talk to managed languages effectively and let me slice and dice my code. There are a lot of really fun community tools out there that are based on that technology. So it's not just something that we inside the product teams care about. We just happen to care about it very much too. Mm-hmm. And it represents a good foundation for building new features in the future.
Okay. And so while we're talking about new features, we have on the Channel 9 site 92 on-demand videos that you guys can go view that talk about a lot of the new features in the product.
Yeah.
So I would recommend that you go and check those out to get more insights into why you should upgrade. There's a ton of new features.
Yeah.
CodePeak alone, I got to tell you. Seriously, CodePeak, it changes the way you write software. Mm-hmm. It really does. Yeah. It just keeps you in a flow that you couldn't have before.
Yeah.
So that alone, if I'm a straight up dev and I'm wondering why would I move, it's that. CodePeak and CodeLens change the way I write software.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. It makes you way more productive. All right. Surab asks, the time Visual Studio takes in starting when it has lots of extensions. That's the lead up to this. Can we expect the loading of extensions to go in the background and load faster?
We don't have any plans right now, but we're definitely constantly watching. We have these internal tools that are tracking these things, and we work with a lot of our partners as we see things like them taking a long time to load. We work with them on a one-off basis and try and reduce some of that performance lag and whatnot. So it's an ongoing thing for us, but we don't have any specific plans to change the way that works.
And then Johannes asks, and I think we know the answer to this, are settings of add-ons / plugins, e.g. Visual Assist, synchronized too? I'll answer for you. No, but they could be.
I know.
Go to User Voice and vote for that.
Yes, please.
And then one more place to go check all the goodness of Visual Studio IDE was not only the build, the talk you gave at Build, but also the Visual Studio Toolbox episode.
Exactly.
Where you came on and showed off the IDE.
Yep.
I, of course, have my personal preference, which would be when you were on my show. But, of course, I heard your Build talk was excellent
as well.
Right.
Yes.
So either of those two places would be a good place to go. Check out all the goodness in the IDE.
Yeah.
So in the few remaining seconds that we have, can we expect... what types of things can we expect in the future? What are the, if you had to put you on the spot and say one thing that you were hoping to deliver in the future, and you can be as high level and obscure about this as you want, but what would be the things that, that we you would hope we'd see coming up?
I think the thing with synchronized settings, you're going to see us start to take on more things and remember more settings for you, which I think just means that you're going to spend less time setting up new machines and moving from one version to the other.
So. Okay.
Yeah.
And for me, I'm really looking forward to the next round of developer productivity. And this, and what this means to me is things like those refactoring tools that were asked about. Those are extremely important. We need to get those in there. Those are important to the craft.
Okay. And then, sorry to interrupt you, but we're out of time, but I did want to get one last question in. CodeLens and CodePeak for C++ as well, or just managed code?
On the backlog. So on the backlog, in all seriousness, it really is.
All right. We are out of time. Thanks, guys, for coming on. We'll take a short break, and then we will look at agile planning in Team Foundation Server, and Brian will be back for that, and I'll see you later on in the day.